You're listening to Sports Connections with David Smale, the show that brings you a fun and intimate look into connections throughout sports. Now here's your host, David Smale.
Our guest today, Ryan Kraskowski, is the Director of Community for Coaches, an organization in the Kansas City area that reminds coaches why they coach. It's not as much about wins and losses. It's more about the journey. Certainly winning is more fun than losing, but if you only focus on the wins and losses, you're headed for trouble. If you focus on the journey, you'll be better prepared for the competition, and you'll also have a better chance of coming out on top. But more importantly, you'll learn things along the way that can be applied to every aspect of your lives. This is especially true when coaching young people. Ryan, welcome to Sports Connections.
Thanks, David. Great to be with you.
So just tell me, let's start with your personal sports background. I know you grew up in Florida. You played college football. Let's just talk about your personal background.
Yeah, so I did. I grew up in Southwest Florida, which was a wonderful place to be a young kid who loved sports. Obviously, beautiful weather year round. So we never had to worry about going inside to escape the cold or anything like that. Primarily a two-sport athlete coming up through high school, football, baseball guy. And yeah, just was really obsessed with, consumed by sports. And there's some good to that and probably some not so good with being consumed by anything. Sports was undoubtedly an idol in my life. And we could dig into that if you want to, but sports was definitely what I cared most about and what I wanted to pursue, what I wanted to do professionally, not necessarily playing, but being involved with sports, although I would have loved to have been a pro athlete. That didn't happen. But yeah, I knew that I wanted to make a living around sports. It was something I was passionate about from my earliest childhood memories.
And I remember my great grandmother, who was born in Sweden, when a friend of my uncle got accepted into your university, my uncle said, "Guess what? John is going to Yale." And she go, "Really? What he do?" You played college football at Yale. Talk about that experience.
Yeah. Playing college football at Yale University was a tremendous opportunity. Had the opportunity to be coached by a man by the name of Carm Koza. And that's a name probably not a lot of your listeners are familiar with, but Coach Koza was the head football coach at Yale University for over 30 years, from the mid-60s until actually my 4 years there were his final 4 years. And, tremendous man, wonderful coach. And, you know, one on the all-time list of Ivy League victories and NCAA lists and all those types of things, Ivy League conference championships and things like that. But what I learned from Coach Koza was, you know, that he was more concerned with what his players became as men than he was with, he obviously wanted to win and knew that winning was essential. To not only keeping his job, especially in the early years, but, pursuing excellence, and obviously winning is a component of that. But at the end of the day, he was there to develop men. And even though I heard those types of things when I was there playing, I don't think I really grasped what that meant. That didn't necessarily mean a whole lot to me when I was 18 or 20 years old. But looking back, I have a much greater appreciation for a mindset like that, for a statement like that, and for a career that was built upon those types of ideals.
And then carrying that forward, it sounds like what Community for Coaches is all about. So give me the elevator speech. You've got 10 floors, so it's not quite the 5-second speech. Sure. 10 floors, the elevator speech for Community Coaches, how it started and what it does.
Yeah, Community for Coaches has just begun its 10th year. We are just over 9 years old. This thing was launched in January of 2012. And I had the opportunity to serve with an organization that I know you know well, the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And I worked with FCA from 08 until the beginning of 2012, and then made a transition and launched Community for Coaches. And the idea, the mindset behind CFC, as we call it, is we want to help coaches most effectively and intentionally use sports as a tool to transform lives. And there's a whole lot that goes into, that one sentence and what's meant by that. And, what do you mean use sports to change lives and intentionally and effectively? I use those words intentionally. But basically, we want to help coaches think through, why are we doing this? what, you know, we talk about in society, it's a good idea. It's, you know, one of the best ideas, best practices, you know, in life, begin with the end in mind, right? Well, if that's reasonable, if that's logical, if that's who we want to be, then what is that end that we have in mind as we begin working with young people? And when you factor in the fact that we are most of the time coaching people who are in that, you know, maybe age 4 to 22 or age 4 to 18 range, you know, we're handling diamonds. We're handling young people who have incredible worth and who need to be loved and built up and understand that their value does not come. And this is another thing you asked about my upbringing in sports. So I'm going to harken back to that answer. You know, for me as an individual, as a kid who was obsessed with sports, my self-worth was based on how well I had played in my last game or how confident I felt going into my next game. That was who I was. And when we can help young people understand that, yeah, no, we want to help you pursue excellence and achieve things, great things as an individual and as a team athletically, but those things do not define you. Okay, well then what does define me? And how can I as a coach help young people grasp that reality that they aren't defined by athletic success, however they might define that, but rather they have worth that is independent of what they can do athletically. And that's, you know, I think I've used up all 10 floors, but that's basically where it's coming from. And there are a lot of ways that we go after that. You know, you mentioned some of the groups and things, and I know we'll talk about that, but that's the basic idea is we want to help coaches use sports as a tool to transform lives.
Well, fortunately there were people getting on each floor, so it took a little longer to get up the 10 floors. One of the things that most impresses me with what CFC does is helping coaches develop purpose statements, coaching purpose statements. Talk about how your own purpose statement developed out of frustration with how you handled coaching your oldest son.
Well, yeah. And actually there's a 2.0 version to my answer to this question.
Okay.
And I'll get into that, but my oldest son is now almost 21 years old. And he, from an early age, he was kind of like me. He loved sports and he wanted to play sports and watch sports and read about sports. And it was the whole deal. And I thought, you know, as a young dad, hey, this is cool. This is great. And we lived in Southwest Florida and we're playing outside all the time. And it was every day, Dad, can you pitch to me? Dad, can you, you know, play catch with me? And it really was, it was about as good as it gets. And then my oldest son becomes, you know, he turns 8 and our family relocated from Southwest Florida up to the Kansas City area where we live. And, you know, it's funny when your oldest child is 8 seems pretty old. And now my youngest child is 12. 12 seems really young. So I'm playing with Robbie. That's his name. And he and I are you know, in the yard doing what we do. And it dawns on me, hey, you know what? My 8-year-old son, he's pretty good. I mean, he's probably not the best kid his age, but he's pretty good. And we've put in a lot of hours and we've put in a lot of reps. And yeah, I wonder how he loves this. I wonder how good he can be. And so something flipped inside of me that was, I was no longer playing with my son and helping him to play and experience joy. I was going to start coaching him and I was going to start training him to achieve, you know, and maximize his athletic potential, whatever that might be. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having, you know, an athlete that wants to maximize his or her potential. You might think whether 8 is the optimal age to begin that pursuit. Because what began happening was I pretty quickly at first, and then very gradually as the situation progressed, I managed to systematically suck the love that my son had for sports right out of him. At least as far as playing baseball, which was his sport of choice in those days. The kid didn't want to play baseball anymore because I made it no fun. I turned it into work. I turned it into something that provided him with negative reinforcement over and over and over again, because I thought I could handle it. And I thought he loved it. And I thought I was helping him. And really all I did was make it no darn fun. And so years later, I came into contact with a man by the name of Joe Ehrman and became familiar with Joe's book, Inside Out Coaching, it's now about 9 years old, but I cannot recommend it highly enough. And I sat through a workshop where Joe led coaches through the practice of developing a coaching purpose statement. And Joe Ehrman didn't invent the idea of creating a mission statement. I mean, people have been doing mission statements for, you know, generations or centuries or whatever. But this was the first time I had ever been challenged to think through, why do I coach? And what I realized was, in helping my son learn to not enjoy playing baseball, that's exactly who I didn't want to be as a coach going forward. I had three other sons that I thought maybe I could do better with. And again, not that my, you know, at the time, 12-year-old son was a finished product. And so he and I we're doing pretty well, and we've done pretty well, you know, over the last decade or so, as far as sports go. But I realized that I really wanted to help young people learn to develop a love for sports. I wanted kids to show up at practice saying, hey, this is so cool. I get to play. This is so cool. I get to be here. I get to be a part of this team and do this deal. And then I also wanted to help them develop a love for each other. And I think if you love what you're doing and you love the people around you, I mean, I'm not saying that's all there is to life, but that's a pretty good start.
Yeah.
And so that became my coaching purpose statement. I coach to help young people develop a love for sports and a love for others that will steer them toward becoming someone who will change the world for good. And I used that coaching purpose statement for the past 9 years. And I'm going to jump to the 2.0 version. I'm giving you a very long answer to this question. I'm not sure how high the building is for this one, but I have recently been working through a set of lessons that we at Community for Coaches have developed called Coaching with Purpose. And I lead coaches through this curriculum, if you will. And, you know, in helping coaches think through and process their own purpose statements, I realized, you know what, maybe it's time for a fresh look at mine. Not that there's anything wrong with what I had, mm-hmm. but maybe I can unpack it just a little bit more. And so I did. You know, what do I mean by a love for sports? Okay, let's think about that. And I did. I went through a process that we lead coaches through. I thought, if I'm going to lead coaches through this process, I should probably go through it myself at least once every 10 years, right? And so I have updated. I haven't changed, but I have updated, which I guess is a type of changed. I haven't thrown out, but I've edited my purpose statement. And it now says this: I coach to help young people learn to compete joyfully and to guide them toward becoming resilient, selfless encouragers who are known by their love for each other. Because there are some words that are really important there. You know, I wanted to help young people develop, you know, those characteristics. I want to help them learn to be resilient. I want to help them learn to be selfless. And those things, while they were always kind of beneath the surface in my previous purpose statement, I wanted to draw them out just a little bit more. And when you think about what our kids have gone through, you know, over what we've all gone through over the past year, right? If we're going to take anything good from this, you know, learning to be a little bit more resilient and a little bit more selfless, or maybe a lot more of those things. You know, those are definitely things that we all hopefully have taken from and continue to take from the challenges that we're currently facing.
That brings up an interesting balance. You know, as a coach who wants to instill excellence in your athletes, what did you learn about the balance that you've been able to apply? Because it's, you know, if you teach them to have fun and to love each other and they don't have any skills and they lose every game, they're still going to lose the joy of the game. So what did you learn about the balance that you know, in the years that you've developed that statement and learned to use it?
Sure. Well, yeah. And the one that I've only recently developed, I've only been coaching with for about a month. And so the jury's still out on that, but I can talk more definitively about the previous version of my statement, the love for the sport and the love for others. And here's the deal. You know, when I'm coaching athletes who are maybe 10 and up, which is now that my youngest son is 12, that's where I do all of my coaching, at the middle school level, with some high school athletes and that's been the case for a while. It's not a whole lot of fun. You know, if I want to help them learn to compete joyfully, when you're just getting thumped over and over and over again because you don't actually know how to play very well, that's not a whole lot of fun. And
right.
I'm not saying it's impossible to compete with joy, but you know, at some point we've got to learn to play the game well. And so I would say to any coach, you know, this idea that, well, if we're just all about having fun and making sure the kids love each other, then that means we're not getting better at the sport. I don't want you anywhere near my kid. If you're not helping them actually learn to excel in the game that they're passionate about. But I also feel like if our kids, you know, at earlier ages, and again, it's an arbitrary number, but it's, you know, when they're elementary school age and younger, if we don't give them a chance to enjoy what they're doing, then they're never going to have the chance to maximize what they have. They're never going to love playing and want to play because they're not going to want to do it. They're going to be like my oldest who, you know, gave up baseball at age 8, even though it was the thing that he had previously loved most in the world. And so, you know, it's not an either or. It's not either we, you know, prioritize fun and love, or we prioritize winning. It's both, and it's having both in their proper order, right? Because when I can help young people learn to actually really enjoy what they're doing, watch their motivation levels improve. When I can teach them to love the people around them, watch them hold each other accountable and push each other in healthy, positive ways, and, you know, and draw out the best in themselves and each other. And you want to tell me there's a better way to get a team ready to win than to help them, you know, practice as hard as they can and to train as hard as they can. And, you know, the ball still may or may not bounce your way on any given day, but you want to get the most out of athletes. Yeah. Help them learn to love what they're doing and to love the people around them. There's nothing that's more motivational for an athlete.
One of the more endearing moments of last year's Chiefs Super Bowl run was when the Chiefs were down 24-0 in their first playoff game to Houston. And Patrick Mahomes is walking up and down the sideline by the bench, holding his teammates accountable, but firing them up. And I think that's a good example of what you're talking about. I want you to define enjoy or enjoyment as it applies to athletic competition. In other words, how do you teach your athletes that hard and bad are not the same thing?
Well, you asked about joy, and you asked about bad is not the, or hard is not the same thing as bad. And we want to play hard. We want to train hard. And like I said a little bit ago, when we get to a certain age, when our athletes get to a certain age, you know, they have the ability to understand that practicing hard and training hard pays off, and it means something, and it helps them. You know, I use the words in my purpose statement about being resilient and selfless and all of that. Well, those things come into play as well, right? Because if I want to help athletes learn to be resilient and selfless and to encourage each other and to even, you know, and all are built around the idea that I want them to compete joyfully, there is great satisfaction that comes from giving something everything we have, you know. And you mentioned Patrick Mahomes, you know, firing the team up on the sidelines. By the way, that whole thing plays a whole lot better when they come back and win the game. I don't think Right. We'd be seeing that clip if they hadn't come back and won the game. And to be honest with you, at 24-0, and we could do a whole podcast about Mahomes, but the difference between him and me, David, well, there are probably many, but here's one key.
He's got difference. A better arm for one.
A little bit. He at 24-0, you can tell that guy has no doubt that they're going to be fine. And at 24-0, sitting in my living room, wishing the game could start over, I was certain they were going to lose. I would have bet anything. And he was the complete opposite. Now, again, the ball may or may not bounce your way when it comes right down to it. Chiefs haven't won every single game that Patrick Mahomes has ever played, but that idea of just belief. And I think, you know, I don't want to get stuck. I know this isn't a Patrick Mahomes podcast, but you want to talk about playing with joy?
Yeah.
Watch him. He loves what he's doing and he knows he's great at it and he works his tail off and he makes the people around him better. Early on in my coaching career, and I don't know how well I'm directly answering your question, but hopefully some of this will resonate with people. Early on in my coaching career, I had the opportunity to be mentored by a guy named Bill Kramer, who is arguably, you know, outside of my immediate family, the most influential person in my entire life. And among the things that I learned from Bill was he taught us, and he probably got this from somebody else, but again, I learned it from him, the definition of a superstar what is the definition of a superstar? A superstar is somebody that makes the people around him or her better. And I latched onto that, and that made sense to me. And I thought, okay, well, then it's not necessarily the person who's the most gifted, but it's the person who can bring out the best in the people around him. And that's what I want to help athletes to be, because there's joy in that. We know this. There's joy in giving ourselves away. There's joy in emptying ourselves into the lives of others and having people do the same for us, right? There's joy in family. There's joy. I mean, is it any wonder that so many coaches talk about our team's a family? Yeah, because there's joy and there's safety and there's community and there's mutual purpose, and there's everything that a family ought to have is what we ought to find in a team as well. And, you know, some of our players have that in their home lives and some don't, but the reality is that all of them can have that on our teams to a degree, at least. And there's joy that comes from that. And I think that's what we see in great teams. They have that love for each other, that mutual striving for excellence, where we know, hey, we are really all in this together. We're here to make each other better. And oh, by the way, when we do this well, we're going to give ourselves the very best chance to achieve, you know, to win games, championships, et cetera. But ultimately, we know we're not measured by that, at least not by ourselves. And we're not defined by that as human beings. Here's what I like to say. The winning becomes a byproduct of our success, not the defining characteristic of our success. We win because we're successful. We don't say we're successful because we won.
Yeah. And to me, the best example of that, and you and I've talked, I've known you for probably 3 or 4 years now, about the fact that I got to know Coach John Wooden. And he was the best example of that, because he never scouted the other team. He always scouted his own team and said, if we perform at our best, we will win a vast majority of the time because we have the talent. And he put such an emphasis on performing at the best level that you can, that it paid off with 10 championships in 12 years, 7 in a row. I had an opportunity recently to interview John Vallely for a podcast, and he played on 2 of Coach Wooden's championship teams, 69 and 70. And he played on the last year with Lew Alcindor, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then the first year when the team was known as the Team Without. And he talked about the fact that on the first day of practice every year, Coach Wooden instructed his players on how to properly put on socks. And, you know, he said every year, especially the new guys, were like, well, Coach, I know how to put on my socks. It's interesting, because it was not just him showing them about the importance of attention to detail. He really wanted to teach them the best way to put on socks, because he didn't want them to miss time because they got blisters because they didn't put on socks properly. One of the things that I'm most impressed with CFC is your focus on purpose, coaching with a purpose, your purpose statement. You've already shared that. You encourage each of your coaches, or each of the coaches that you help, to develop their own purpose statement. And if everything they do is leading towards fulfilling that purpose statement, then maybe putting on socks correctly can be a part of that, but it all fits. So that was a long question. Wasn't even a question. Just comment on the fact of being focused on purpose.
Yeah. You know, here's, And I love the story. And, you hear John Wooden helping players learn to put on socks. And you hear about Vince Lombardi saying, gentlemen, this is a football. And, you know, those types of stories. Here's the thing about having my purpose defined, and what I got to experience individually absolutely revolutionized the way that I viewed sports and coaching. And we're talking about after I'd been a coach for over a decade. Before I had been, and I'd had great experiences and wonderful mentors like Bill Kramer, who I mentioned earlier. But I had never been challenged to define, you know, to answer that question for me specifically, because my purpose is not going to be identical to somebody else's. Right. There's going to be a lot of overlap, right? But I would advocate every coach should have his or her own. because you're not all wired the same. You're not all gifted the same. And so the things that are the most important to me, you know, I could give you a list of 40 great character traits. And I think, yeah, those are all great, but I only have room to put four or five of them in my purpose statement. Otherwise I've got a ridiculous, useless purpose statement. And if you're trying to hit everything, you're going to hit nothing. But if we've got an army of coaches out there, you know, if you'll excuse the metaphor, who are all, you know, thinking about, okay, what am I passionate about? How am I wired? How am I gifted? What is important to me? What is my target that I want to help young people hit? And, you know, and for me, it's joy and resilience and selflessness and encouraging and all of that, and love for each other and whatnot. But what developing that purpose statement did for me was it did just that. It gave me that target to shoot for. It gave me that lens or that filter through which to process every interaction, every conversation, every email, every practice plan, every play I draw up. And it provided that mechanism for me to self-evaluate and reflect. And it gave me a tool, as it turned out, that once I realized, holy cow, this thing's a game changer. It gave me a tool that I was then blessed with the opportunity to help other coaches implement and develop and discover and all of those types of things. The other thing is, the reality is, we all fall short in many ways. I do not live out my purpose statement perfectly. There are times when I do not embody resilience or selflessness or encouragement. And what the purpose statement does is it gives me a way of saying, oops, missed the mark here. And sharing my purpose statement with the athletes that I coach and their parents and the other coaches on our staff also gives them a means of, even if they wouldn't do it verbally, putting myself out there in that way, there's a whole lot of accountability that goes along with that. When I tell you this is who I am, this is why I do what I do, well, then I better at least be making a really good effort to do that well. And again, I don't do it perfectly, but I want to do it well. I want to do it really, really well. And I want to help other coaches learn to have that same type of experience. And I can tell you this, over the past 9+ years, that's the feedback we consistently get from coaches is, yeah, I've had a similar experience, Ryan. This is huge. And so I can't tell you, it sounds so simple, right? Answer the question, why do you coach? And there are a couple of other follow-up questions that we put along with that, that I also borrowed from Joe Erman largely. But that's why he does what he does. I would assume he would tell you that's great. And he's really thrilled about it. Someday I'll get the chance to ask him, I'm sure. It sounds so simple. Why do we do this? Why do I coach? Why am I here? What are we trying to accomplish today? Because if I can't answer that question, then I'm wasting, at least at some level, I'm wasting people's time.
Yeah. I want to play devil's advocate for you, because there's a lot of people that will say, this is really important when you get up into the high school level. And if you have the opportunity to coach at the college level or professional level, you really need to make sure that you're focused on everything you do so your athletes can be focused. But at the middle school level where you're currently coaching, it's really about X's and O's and teaching them the basics. Argue with me. And I know that you're right. I know that statement is not true, but tell me why it's important to focus on purpose at a very young age.
Well, and a middle schooler or a coach who's working with elementary age athletes, you know, is probably going to want to take what you just said, you know, teaching the fundamentals. Great. Make that part of your purpose statement. My goal is to help young people learn to appreciate the fundamentals of our sport while learning to love the opportunity to play or something like that.
Yeah.
Because the reality is, yeah, we do need to teach young people how to tackle properly and throw properly and, you know, do all of these things, you know, well, fundamentals are huge. And so, you know, this, yeah, what you just said, this idea that, well, yeah, I'm here to teach the fundamentals. And then later on coaches can worry about, you know, bigger ideas like purpose. No, the fundamentals are a huge part of your purpose, but what kind of a person do you want to be along the way? And how do you want, what type of an experience do you want when the kids are done with their season, what do you want them to say about the experience they had? How do you want them to feel about the experience they had? You know, I've had some coaches come up to me who, you know, work with very young children, 5, 6 years old. And what I consistently tell them, you know, and they'll say, well, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? And I say, it's almost impossible to do it poorly when you're teaching little kids. If you've got the patience to handle five-year-olds, and God bless you, and do the best you can and teach them what you can. But here's what I tell them. I say, if you're coaching five-year-olds, make it your goal that all of them want to play when they're six. Because if you can do that, you're giving them a chance to really learn to love this thing and to develop whatever talents they might end up having later on. If you can tell me who the best players are going to be at age five across the board, I think you're kidding yourself. Yeah, you can notice some gifted athletes and whatnot. I'm not suggesting that you can't. But the reality is that, you know, if they don't enjoy doing it when they're small, they'll never get a chance to play at a higher level later on in their lives.
You know, I've talked through the years about the calling of coaching and the fact that coaches share two things. All coaches, regardless of level, sport, gender, whatever, share two things. One is a call to coach. If you're called to coach, you have to coach. And the second thing is the same first name, coach. Right. And the best way I can describe that, when my kids are 35 and 37 now, and when my daughter was I don't even think she was born. So this was 35 summers ago. My son was two. I coached a little league baseball team and we weren't very good. And probably because I wasn't doing enough with fundamentals, we were having fun. We'd have our practice would be, you know, inter-squad games and my assistant coaches, we'd be out there playing and competing with the kids. But by the end of the summer, our team got to be pretty good. We were like bottom tier in the playoff and ended up losing in the championship game and losing by one run in the championship game. My point is that was 35 years ago. That was the summer of 1985. The dad of one of those kids, and those kids are now, you know, in their 40s, late 40s. The dad of one of those kids I see on a regular basis when I cover Kansas State football, because that dad owns the Xerox company or the Xerox franchise in Manhattan, and he does all the stats in games. And I would see him, and every time I see him, he comes up to me and he says, "Hey, David, how are you?" Gary says to tell Coach hi.
Nice.
Gary doesn't remember me as David. He doesn't remember me as Mr. Smale. He remembers me as Coach 35 years after his Little League season when he was 12 years old. So that impact that you can have is tremendous. And it kind of transitions to something you were just talking about, that you're teaching your pupils, your kids, about more than sports. You're teaching them about life, because all of those things that you just talked about, fundamentals and loving each other and, you know, all of those things, they can take on the journey through life, whether it's hard work, whatever, whether it's, you know, diving headfirst into first base or running through a tackle or dealing with adversity or whatever. Just talk about the importance of teaching things that can be transposed into real life situations.
Yeah. You know, because when we think about that question, why are we here? What are we doing? What is all this for? When we're small children, why do we begin playing sports with our friends? Because it's fun.
Yeah.
And it's something that we can do together. And yeah, whether we're on the same team or whether we're facing off against each other at recess or whatever, we do it because it provides, an opportunity for us to, you know, enjoy being together and challenge ourselves and challenge each other and all of that. So when we think about what we can gain from sports, right, we begin playing because it's fun and we enjoy it. But when you also think about, you know, why as a society, why do we care about sports? You and I talked about Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs a little while ago. Why do we care about the Chiefs? If you think about it, it's actually kind of silly when you boil it down to this. It's a bunch of people that we will probably never meet chasing a ball around on a field. That's and yet we care about it like it really matters. And you know what? It doesn't really matter. But it does.
Yeah.
Because here's the thing, you know, when you see, and we've been fortunate here in Kansas City to experience this now a couple of times in the past 5 years. When you see a million people or 750,000 people turn out to celebrate because a bunch of people that they will never meet chased a ball around on a field and won a trophy, all of a sudden that thing that is otherwise meaningless all of a sudden means a whole lot. And it brings people together. Sports bring people together in a way that very few, perhaps nothing else in the world can. When you talk about something that brings together a larger and more diverse group of people, there's nothing like sports. And so then when you factor in your question about what can we specifically learn from sports? Well, you know, I mentioned in my purpose statement, I can learn to be resilient. I can learn to bounce back from adversity. I can learn to not give up when I'm down 24-0 in the second quarter.
Right.
Selflessness. I can learn that, hey, you know what? It's not all about me. And actually the greatest joy that I can experience in life comes from emptying myself into other people and investing in the people around me and learning to care more about the people around me than I do myself. Because I know I'm part of this thing and I know people have got my back when I've got theirs, and encouraging each other. That's the third word in the middle of my purpose statement, you know, and obviously those aren't the only things we can learn from sports. We can learn about work ethic. We can learn about teamwork. We can learn about, you know, I don't know, like I said, there's a laundry list of character traits that any one of them, you know, and when we've got, you know, I mentioned this whole, you know, a city full of coaches who are intentionally and effectively using sports to change lives. Imagine that every single one of those words on that, you know, list of 50 positive character traits is going to be, you know, part of some coach's purpose statement. See, my own children, I've got four sons. I've only mentioned my oldest and my youngest, but there are four of them and they all played sports coming up. Although my oldest gave up baseball at age 8, he stuck with other sports and they all were athletes, some better than others, but they were all right. Athletes. And the two younger ones continue to compete athletically. When I think about the number of individuals who are going to be coaching my sons, you know, from age 4 up through 20 or beyond, if every single one of those individuals is coaching with purpose, then the good that gets developed in my son as a result is incalculable. And then here's the thing, and then this maybe goes without saying, I'm going to go ahead and say it anyway. My son then becomes a dad and a coach and a leader in some respect in the workplace, wherever. And he's had all of those people investing in him and loving on him and helping him learn to take the lessons that he has pulled from sports and apply them in other areas of life across the board. And as a parent and as a member of this, you know, society, as a community member, I can't put a price tag on that. And that's what motivates me. That's why I do what I do. It's not because, hey, it's really cool to have a cool sounding purpose statement, although it is, I guess, kind of cool. If you actually tried to put a price tag on what could come from that, you know, the vision statement, we haven't gotten to this, so I'm going to go ahead and jump there now. The vision statement for Community for Coaches is a city transformed. And some might hear that and go, well, that's a little ambitious. That's a little arrogant. Really? You guys, you're going to transform the city? Nope. We're going to help coaches think through their purpose, who are going to train other coaches to walk through a similar process. And as generations of coaches are walking through that process and coaching their athletes purposefully and intentionally and effectively using sports as a tool to change lives, yeah, you better believe it'll be a city transformed. Because you're talking about, we mentioned earlier the sheer volume of people who are impacted by sports.
All of that can be wrapped up in, if I were creating my new coaching purpose statement. I'm not coaching currently, but what I see is the value here is to teach enjoyment of the sport while learning all these other aspects. And I will finish with this story. In the 1975 World Series, and it's best remembered for Carlton Fisk's home run to win Game 6 for the Red Sox, But right before that, Bernie Carbo of the Reds hit a pinch hit home run to tie the game in the bottom of the eighth. So had he not done that for the Red Sox, Carlton Fisk couldn't have hit that extra inning home run. As Carbo was rounding third base, Reds third baseman Pete Rose, who was a former teammate, said to him, "This is fun. This is the World Series. This is a game where the Reds were 5-6 outs away, max, maybe 4 outs away from clinching the World Series, their first World Series. Well, I guess they won the year. No, the first World Series since in like 15 years. And Pete Rose, one of the all-time greats, is having fun, even though the other team just tied it.
Yeah.
He recognized it's hard work to get to that level. It takes all of these things we've been talking about, but it's still fun. And is that a good way to wrap this up, that if coaches are coaching with a purpose and teaching the kids the fundamentals and teaching them to value each other and teaching them to, you know, all of these things and still enjoy it, is that really what Community for Coaches is all about?
Yeah, well, in some ways, yes, and probably in most ways. And your story is an interesting one. You know, when you think about the perspective that it takes to be playing in a, you know, in a setting like that, in the potentially clinching game of the World Series, mm-hmm. and to be able to have that mindset, that perspective of, now look, if the Red Sox had just taken the lead instead of tied it up, maybe Pete's comment would have been slightly different. I don't know, but you know, to be able to just kind of look around, take it in, and go, you know what? It's pretty cool that we get to do this. This is a game that people are going to remember. And to be a part of this, is special. And obviously, when you're talking about the World Series, you know, it's going to be remembered. And here you and I are talking about it, you know, 45 years after the fact. The reality is that in every game our kids are playing, there's an opportunity to step back and drink it in and say, you know what? It's pretty sweet that I get to do this. Now, look, when we step on that field, we're going to give it everything we have.
Yeah.
And we're trying to win that game. But it's also important to recognize and to realize that, yeah, it is a special thing simply to get to play. Mike Singletary is a guy that I know you're familiar with. Former Hall of Fame linebacker and former NFL head coach. There's a quote of Singletary's that I've used, and it's, "My favorite part of the game was simply getting to play." I don't know if I have that exactly word for word.
Yeah.
But something to that effect. And I thought, okay, here's a guy that's in the Hall of Fame and was famous for his intensity on the field.
Right.
And his quote is, "My favorite part of the game was simply that I got to play." That's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, so, you know, like we talked about earlier, this idea that it's an either or, that we're either going to pursue excellence in winning or, you know, help our kids to have fun and enjoy the moment. No, it's not that is a false choice. We don't have to choose. We can do both. And the reality is that when we can help them learn to enjoy what they're doing and learn to love each other, there is no better way to prepare them to become the type of people that are going to do the work that it takes to win.
All right. Well, that's a great way to wrap it up. I appreciate the time. It's always good to catch up with you, and look forward to doing so in the future. And best of luck, best wishes with Community for Coaches moving forward.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Sports Connections with David Smale. Make sure to subscribe, follow, and rate the show from your favorite podcast platform. You can learn more about David Smale and his work by visiting davidsmalebooks.com. Don't forget to join us weekly for new episodes. Until next time.